Media shouldn't be one note. Support Rabble.ca and a diversity of voices in Canadian media. Visit rabble.ca/donate to contribute.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's radio, free radio.
Hi, and welcome to Gooder Goods, a podcast about conscious consumption. I'm Kelly Okamura, and I'd like to share with you my long journey from front row fashionista to shopping in my closet as a trendsetter. We're all consumers who wear clothes. And as a professional in the purchasing system, my spending spree has taught me a lot about why clothes matter and why all of us need to think twice before we mindlessly make our next purchase. And hopefully before we wreck our planet for the sake of a bargain that we thought was too good of an opportunity to miss out on.
Post-US election. Did you shop for solace or retreat from the stores? Two common stress responses. I did both. A few weeks back, a new car purchase was not remotely on my radar. But when the reckless drunk driver crashed into my parked vehicle plus two others, my car was a write-off. And suddenly, I was making a big, important purchasing decision in a rush. But first, I had to get over my assumptions. I'm so glad I recently squeezed in a Japan Foundation lecture by visiting Professor Kenya Hara on X-Information. If you missed the lecture or his talk at Design Thinkers 2016, you can check out his newest book published by Lars Mueller. But the soundbite is, design starts with the comprehension of the unknown. A masterfully presented talk, he successfully delivered to the packed audience of design thinkers how assumptions blind us when we utter, and shut out discovering what we don't know, what we don't know. I enjoyed seeing a simple stick figure become female, not with breasts, but gesture, like throwing a ball. And photos of common assumptions of nakedness gave inanimate objects like bare fruit a human character with the addition of a bikini bottom. Let's see if I can share this learning from my recent experience. Limited budget and no time for car made to order off the assembly line possible. I needed wheels to get back to my speedy life, fast. This meant quick online research followed by a survey of local options at used car lots. Won't bog you down with the details, but made a quick pass on the sexy two-seater as well as a default replacement, same as before, but not mine, car. I'm happy to share that I found satisfaction with my new-to-me Kia hybrid. If you watch CBC's Kim's Convenience Store, you'll understand that some bias is inbred. Even if my mode of transportation isn't an eco-laudable fixed-wheel bike, my new-to-me hybrid may be my foray into a be-gooder automobile. Had I closed my mind on what I believed about Korean-made cars, I would have missed this gem. Making brand assumptions before I was coerced onto the car lot, took a test drive, and learned that Kia ended a 27-year reign of premium brand nameplates. Designer labels, premium nameplates, quality is now measured by consumer satisfaction and impacts brands' revenue, and subsequently, designing with more consumer input. Premium for status doesn't guarantee satisfaction, and Kia topped J.D. Power's ranking for initial quality. The consumer is in the driver's seat. Nameplates, such as Kia, climb their ranks combining professional know-how and industrial scale with consumer insight to deliver a high-feature product that would work with my limited budget. Truthfully, my upgrade exceeded my insurance settlement, and this unexpected purchase meant I had less open-to-buy dollars to spend when I arrived in New York, days after the American election. After my car drama, and in the still palpable global sense of apprehension, I packed in haste, knowing this was not a time to rely on credit cards for forgotten items. I came for business, yet it was not business as usual. I could hardly cross a border naked, and it was important to present confidence in dress. But keeping in mind I'd be carrying my own bags in various modes of transportation. Packing a travel wardrobe built on a shop in my closet made me grateful to Michael from Special Effects for the great haircut to give me confidence to present myself to an elite trend forecasting meeting in a fashion capital. Passing on Michael's hair care tip, dead beer cut with water was what Vidal Sassoon used to make hair clean and shiny before commercial products replaced common sense with undecipherable ingredients used for profit making. Check out this tip in the show notes. And also, check out upcoming Clean Beauty Talks on Toxic Beauty. I bought myself one free day prior to the scheduled meetings. Long before the elections, long before I discovered I could not afford my Manhattan bed, which landed me in Brooklyn solo. The reality of life shattered my assumptions of what I could accomplish on my own dime, limited time, and all my Brooklyn contacts pre-booked. It would have been easy for me to cross the river to more known Manhattan landmarks, but I set out to make the best of discovering the yet gentrified area of Williamsburg near my one-night stay as a first-time Airbnb-er. On the ground in Brooklyn, I quickly found out what I didn't know, and I didn't even know how to articulate what answers I sought from a kind bartender who could have directed me to the in-the-know locales that shunned bright signage. But that's how I found out I needed to walk under the uninviting auto expressways to get to gentrified Brooklyn. I must have sucked up all my cellular power on my online search, so with a dying iPhone, I trekked the seemingly dodgy area under the highways to get to a more familiar strip of Williamsburg, to find the shops closed. So I window shopped by default. Brooklyn might have been a bust if hip cousin Tim, an artist with cred, hadn't invited me to a late-night birthday party in Fort Greene. Different story, because I didn't even buy a last-minute gift. The stores were definitely closed. The next day, when I crossed the East River and dropped my bags at the newly remodeled Redbury Hotel, it ended my leisure to shop. Back on work time, I showed up for meetings and dinner in a vintage dressmaker Japanese printed floral corduroy dress from my closet. The following day, dinner plans were canceled, but instead of being disappointed, I took this as an opportunity to see one of four installations by the Chinese political artist Ai Weiwei. I learned about the recently opened exhibit while in Brooklyn and was glad for the chance to see the installation Laundromat at the Jeffrey Deutsch Gallery on Grand Street. Atypical of the normal fashion tour in Soho, I sought out Ai Weiwei's clothing installation composed of abandoned garments left by fleeing refugees this spring from Idomé in South Greece. I checked on the gallery times, but could not have known that the show was actually on Wooster and closed for a private showing. This trek was not to shop, but again, I saw the installation through the windows. You can see this fashion statement at the Wooster Gallery until December the 23rd or on the web. It's a sobering thought to think what purchases one would leave behind to flee. And by the time I wandered to the designer boutiques in Soho, it was near closing. But the window mannequins at Eye of Soho drew me across the street and through the door to marvel and touch the apparel creations by top international designers. Even if I had more than 5 minutes before they closed, I didn't have to look at the price tags to know these garments were beyond my budget. But I can admire the creations. I did manage to shop at a Maker Mall on Broadway, where I stumbled on the ZWD stall for Zero Waste Annual. This direct-to-consumer brand claims to be the first zero-waste clothing line made from 100% pre-consumer cutting room scraps. Check out their mission statement and collection through the link on the show notes. What caught my eye was the colorful patch sweaters, but what drew me into their space was a textural element of the black-on-black sweatshirts pieced together from different black fabric scraps from industrial waste. Made in Brooklyn, this scrappy top's major expense is for the labor to create new fabric in a process they call re-roll. Difficult for a startup brand to sell retailers when consumer prices will be more than double. In the few shops that I found still open, I realized my desire to shop no longer equated to buy. Hard to justify new expense on credit when I still had enough stuff already and was willing to keep shopping in my closet at home. I spent my final fashion day in the informed company of several elite trend forecasters. Not surprisingly, my floral stocking choice, paired with a discreet two-piece neutral Mercy suit previously bought years ago off a film set, caught eyes. Was I in fashion? No. I had style and confidence to wear my choice of daily armor. Regardless whether I had bought no new clothes, I was not naked, nor did I blend in. And perhaps this led to the opportunity to chat briefly with well-known trend forecaster Lee Elcourt. Those same stockings were noted by my soon-to-be seatmate on the return flight back to Toronto. On the plane, she confessed to spending air mile points to come to New York to shop. She bought at duty-free. But first I had to pass through Penn Station, where I met the woman unknowingly wearing the paper toilet seat cover in her waistband. We must have been a fashion sighting in our attire, riding the escalator up to the terminal. She was a long way from the public washrooms and super visible even at the height of rush hour at Penn Station. This was not a person who intended to stand out in the crowd, and she likely assumed when she left the washroom that she was presentable for public space. And the small amount of courage that it took to have a discreet dialogue with a stranger before pulling out the offending scrap of unintended attire made me stand out of the crowd even more. I forgot that my colorful legs looked tattooed, and she didn't know about her mockable backside until the toilet seat covering was removed, and perhaps from embarrassment, she disappeared into the crowd. Whether we understand that what we cover our nakedness speaks volumes to others, even if it hangs on a lifeless store mannequin in the window of IF or drapes unknowingly out of our pants. Having purposely worn my clothing inside out to show my labels as a fashion revolutionist gave me reference to know how unwillingly people will directly engage with others on their attire and choose to keep their assumptions to themselves or unkindly share the sight with friends. And now I know how unwillingly people will act with kindness to help a fellow human with a wardrobe mishap. Ken Yohara, in his X-Information lecture, commented that we cover our bareness to hide our perceived imperfections. Not always, but perhaps in accepting my imperfection. Be gooder.
Follow me on Twitter at GooderGoods. The links I referenced can be found on Facebook. Search GooderGoods. And the podcast is uploaded on soundcloud.com/GooderGoods. Choose to be gooder.